Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here, Tomas at the network. And we're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Today's guest, Seton Motley, president of Less Government. His latest, the U.S. should take note of Vietnam's first trade policy. That's, you know, like America first. Yeah, Vietnam first. Let's see, David Rubin, former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, will be here reporting on the butcher of Tehran elected. And Selwyn Duke, all right, and his latest pro-vaccine woman states, my 13-year-old nephew died 3 days after his second COVID shot. All right. Well, let's turn to the news now. Of course, Kamala says she's headed for the border, finally going to the border. And, of course, the fact that Trump announced days ago that he was going to the border, oh, that had nothing to do with it. Yeah, right. Joe Biden's approval numbers have been steadily declining of late. Some pollsters see worse to come for the president. Quote, it's not a good sign for Joe Biden, said Republican pollster Jim McLaughlin of McLaughlin and Associates. What we're seeing right now are approval numbers in the low 50s, and the intensity level is only about 32% of people say they strongly approve of the job he's doing. According to the firm's May survey, Biden's approval numbers are trending down. Perhaps more importantly, his disapproval numbers are rising sharply. In the Real Clear Politics average, Biden's approval rating has drifted down to 52.3 as of June 22nd, which equals his previous low as president. Meanwhile, his current disapproval average has spiked to 43.6, just shy of his previous high, up from 36% at the close of his first week in the White House. The majority opposed factored into this latest average do not reflect his recent performance in Europe. Now, during an appearance on Just the News AM, McLaughlin repeatedly cited upside-down support among independents as a particular ominous sign for the future of the Biden presidency's popular standing. The president is now underwater among these critical swing voters, with 47% approving, 51% disapproving. Just 44% of the independent voters believe the country is headed in the right direction. Mental health specialists have described the phenomenon of locked-in trauma plaguing youngsters after more than a year of lockdowns, with children as young as 5 experiencing anxiety, including playing with others. The experts also believe that some 1.5 million children and young people will need treatment for mental health problems after the waves of lockdown and social distancing, with waiting lists on the NHS so long, up to 4 years in part of the countries, that many parents are opting to pay privately for care. An investigation by The Telegraph published last week found specialists revealed that children had become frightened of everyday social interactions fueled by social distancing and the fear of infection. Children's Commissioner for England, Dame Rochelle De Salsa, described it as locked-in trauma, with youngsters experiencing difficulties readjusting to normal life, including, quote, not knowing how to make friends anymore and not knowing how to talk to anyone else. Senior figures at an NHS Federation meeting admitted that their own children had experienced such behaviors as a fear of going outside. One described her 5-year-old as housebound. Another said their daughter had a panic attack after a play date with friends. The newspaper reported that in the 12 months since the beginning of the first lockdown, March 2020, the National Health Service has treated more than 420,000 young people and children for mental health issues, rising 11% in 2 years. Meanwhile, Kamala Harris, she's on the job. She's told left-wing activists to knock on doors to pressure people to get vaccinated, as Biden's July 4th vaccine goal is likely to fall short. The Biden administration set a goal to fully vaccinate 70% of you Americans by July 4th, and Americans are refusing to get the COVID vaccine for many different reasons, but the Biden administration is pushing for 70% vaccination so they can wield power over the unvaccinated. This has nothing to do with saving lives. It's all about power. And Kamala Harris told so-called volunteers in Atlanta to knock on doors and harass people who may be hesitating to get the vaccine for one reason or another. Harris even gave the activists several pointers on how to overcome their objections. For example, if you knock on the door and somebody says they don't have time to get the vaccine because people are busy, they're just trying to make it through the day, or they say that pharmacies are never open when they do have time, well, let's address that, because now you can let them know that the pharmacies across the country are going to keep their doors open for 24 hours on Fridays in June, including today, because we need to meet people where they are. Some folks are working two jobs, Harris said. Quote, and what if they say they can't miss work? Well, you can tell them that there are employees across the country who are offering paid time off for their employees to get vaccinated. And we want to encourage and challenge more employees to do the same, she said. Have young children? Yeah, I told you what we're going to talk about with Selwyn Duke, right? Well, Kamala's got you covered. Quote, other folks need time to recover after they get the shot, right? And may need a little moment where they need some help with their kids. So we're partnering with YMCA and KinderCare and the Learning Care Group to provide free children for both vaccination and recovery. We need to meet the people where they are. You know, I'm kind of curious here because, as I mentioned a moment ago, you know, Selwyn Duke's latest pro-vaccine woman, maybe she answered the door. 13-year-old nephew died 3 days after getting his second COVID shot. But see, he'd already been talked into it, you know, getting his first. So just kind of wondering, right? So then Kamala says, you know, you might run across people as you're out talking and knocking, and folks might say, I don't have a car, or there's no public transportation or bus that comes by my house. And that's fair, because how can we expect them to get to the vaccination site? Well, guess what? Now, as part of the solution, rideshare companies will be giving free rides to and from the vaccination centers. Kamala's on the job. I say, what next? Free donuts? Free lottery? Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, California's already done that. You ever stop and wonder there, listener, you know? Wow, they're really pushing this, aren't they? Boy, and even for the young children who only have, you know, like a 999% chance of surviving, wow. Well, the children are being picked on. Let's see here. High school students in Florida will now be required to learn about the evils of communism under one of the three bills that Governor Ron DeSantis signed. Now, he signed the bills at a news conference at Three Oaks Middle School in Fort Myers. Two of the bills, HB 5 and SB 1108, focus on civics education. Wow. And the third, HB 233, requires freedom of expression at state colleges and universities. Wow. I mean, you're going to be allowed to. Okay. Specifically, HB 5 requires the Florida Department of Education to develop an integrated K-12 civic education curriculum. Are you ready for this? They're going to be teaching students about citizens' shared rights under the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Wow. Will they hold them at gunpoint? Mm-hmm. You know, of course. Iranian authorities foiled a sabotage attack against a civilian nuclear facility, according to Local News Hour reporting yesterday. State news website Press TV reported the same incident, saying that allegedly targeted building belonged to Iran's Atomic Energy Organization and that the incident did not result in any casualties or damage. Press TV said the investigations into the attack are ongoing. It's believed to have links to the Iran Supreme National Security Council, according to the AP. Iran's foreign ministry did not immediately reply to a CNBC request for a comment. The report comes just days after the election of a hardline cleric, Ebrahim Raisi, in Iran's presidency. Raisi has expressed vocal anti-Western sentiment, but supports a return to the 2015 Iranian nuclear deal with the U.S. and other world powers. And I think that's what we're going to be talking about with David Rubin, too. All right. A federal judge has dismissed the bulk of a series of lawsuits against the federal government over the use of force to drive Black Lives Matter protesters out of Lafayette Park last year, but will allow protesters to continue to seek damages from Washington, D.C. and Arlington County, Virginia, over the actions of their police forces. U.S. District Court Judge Dabney Frederick rejected demonstrators' claims for damages against former officials such as President Donald Trump, Attorney General William Barr, and Defense Secretary Mark Esper, as well as some other current federal officials. Frederick, a Trump appointee, also declined to consider requests for an injunction barring similar uses of force against protesters in the future. Quote, "The plaintiff's claims of impeding future harm are too speculative to confer standing to seek an injunction," Frederick wrote in this 51-page decision. Quoting here, "Such harm would require that plaintiffs against demonstrates in Lafayette Square, that agencies headed by the official capacity defendants again response to the demonstration, that federal officers again use the law enforcement in response to cover the deliberately targeted nonviolent peaceful demonstrators, and one or more of the plaintiffs again be targeted. This hypothetical chain of events is simply too speculative to confer standing for injunction relief." Boy, they do have a way with words, don't they? Frederick said she would consider the plaintiff's First Amendment challenge to current restrictions on the use of the park located just to the north of White House. And the judge rejected arguments that the handling of the protesters amounted to seizing or detaining them under federal law. And a suit claims that the officers attacked and improperly dispersed the protesters, but did not restrain them or attempt to seize them in place, the judge wrote. Quote, "Indeed, quite the opposite was true. The officers attempted to cause the protesters and fleeing crowd to leave their location rather than cause them to remain there." Kind of hard to follow that one, I'll tell you. Taliban insurgents have conducted a wave of offenses in Afghanistan's north. This happened in recent days, moving beyond their southern strongholds as international forces finally withdrawing. United Nations envoy of Afghanistan said the Taliban had taken more than 50 of the 370 districts and was positioned to take control of provincial capitals. Fierce fighting between the Taliban and the Afghan government forces has taken place outskirts of the three provincial capitals and the northern provinces in recent days, according to the officials. Since the United States announced plans in April to withdraw its troops with no conditions by September 11th, after nearly 20 years of conflict, well, the violence has escalated throughout the country. As the Taliban, what are they doing? They're seeking more territory. Yes. All right. Mr. Seton Motley is standing by.
It's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Before the worldwide triumph of Hamilton, Lin-Manuel Miranda created a Tony Award-winning musical about a vibrant Caribbean-American neighborhood at the very northern tip of Manhattan. It's called In the Heights, now streaming on HBO Max and playing in theaters.
It's a story of a block that was disappearing. In un barrio called Washington Heights, the streets were made of music.
And this big new movie is made of music, movie magic, and dancing. Director John Chu, best known for the major hit Crazy Rich Asians, has done a deeply sympathetic job of bringing to life an energetic array of young characters led by Anthony Ramos, who was also in the Hamilton cast, in a star-making performance. This is surely one of the best movie musicals of recent years, and very likely the feel-good movie of 2021. It's rated PG-13 for some slightly off-color references. 4 stars for In the Heights.
Deb's constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating kept giving her grief. She talked to her doctor to get some relief. Turns out Deb had irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, which was a start. Saying yes to Linzess helped her do her part.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
When you really want Italian food, you have got to get to Columbo's. Columbo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club. Colorado Boulevard, Eagle Rock. It's that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Citizens, no need now to clamor for culinary gustatorial delights. Dreams do come true. Columbo's has triumphantly reopened its golden doors to feed the famished and soothe the savage beast. Bask in the delights of Columbo's succulent steaks, Neptune's superior offerings from the seven seas, Columbo's family Italian specialties, and, of course, their world-famous meatballs. And it's all so affordable. Yes, Columbo's, the ninth wonder of the world, the Southern California pantheon dedicated to unrivaled and unparalleled yum-yum. Columbo's, that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Columbo's, mangia bene.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN. Program note tomorrow, an encore with William J. Federer, yes, sir. And also Bruce Price going to be here on that encore, so don't miss that. Right now, I would like to tell you that my guest is here, the one and only Mr. Seton Motley. He's president of Less Government, lessgovernment.org. You can also read all his articles at redstate.com. Hey, Seton, how are you doing, sir?
Fine, sir. How are you?
It's like I can't catch up sometimes, you know what I mean? Nothing going on, and then all of a sudden, blam, there it is. You know, when I saw your article about the U.S. should take note of Vietnam's Vietnam First trade policy. And I said, goodness, did Donald Trump go over there and start indoctrinating those people? Vietnam First?
Well, you know, I'm reminded of, you remember when Obama in 2009 went on his global apology tour for, you know, apologizing for the United States, and we complained about it, and he said, whoa, America First, sure, just like France thinks France first and Germany thinks Germany first. And we're like, yes, we elected you president of the United States. You should be America first. Yes. Well, then, of course, Trump comes in and does it. And he does it, I mean, literally just about every policy he implemented improved
sincerely,
America.
Sincerely, yes. Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he did was improve our trade policies. He stopped entering into multi-country trade negotiations and deals because you dilute your. We had the number one biggest market on the planet. Why are we diluting our negotiating powers by negotiating with seven countries simultaneously? It's stupid. He wanted bilateral agreements, and where we were getting cheated by other countries, he started very strategically applying tariffs. And I actually wrote a piece about this. I looked it up. In 2018, I believe, he had imposed $240 billion in tariffs On a $20 trillion economy, that's nothing. Then, on top of that, he grew the economy from $20 trillion to $22 trillion. So I would argue that a $2 trillion return on a $240 billion investment is a pretty good return on your investment. So, you know, it's all of these things that, I mean, the reason we got wage increases, especially at the low end, the reason we got all these businesses returning and lowest Hispanic unemployment, lowest Black unemployment, I mean, it was all of it. It was lower taxes. It was less regulations. But the key component was the tariffs and evening out the trading playing field. Well, of course, now we've got Biden. We'll see what happens.
Maybe Biden's going to have an apology tour now. Go ahead and take advantage of us.
So I tell all this to look at Vietnam. Some in the trade world are freaking out because Vietnam just put basically a 48% tariff on Thailand's sugar imports. Well, why did they do this? Because Thailand subsidizes their sugar $1.3 billion per year. And Vietnam rightly acknowledged, hey, you're flooding our market with your subsidized stuff, and it's undercutting our producers. And in the interest of protecting our ability to continue to have farming in this country, we're going to apply tariffs unless and until you stop subsidizing your sugar. So, I mean, ultimately, just like with Trump, with Vietnam, the ultimate objective is to get to nothing on either side. No tariffs, no subsidies. But you can't unilaterally disarm because we've tried unilaterally disarming. That's why Vietnam applied the tariffs, because the unilateral disarmament did not cause Thailand to stop subsidizing their exports. So I just, you know, this is just another reminder that Trump was right. This is damaging to domestic, you know, the reason jobs left, and it wasn't just farmers, you know, farmers are food manufacturers. That's what they are. And we talk about the Rust Belt and all the manufacturing that left. All jobs basically are manufacturing, or 90% of them. You know, you got 10% of the people that create something, and then the other 90% produce it. That's all manufacturing, whether it's food, whether it's iPhones, whether it's chairs, whether it's tables. It's all manufacturing at that point.
And hold it right there while they continue to build all those things between A and Z. We'll continue with more on this from Seton Motley. He's president of Less Government, L-E-S-S, right? And the website is lessgovernment.org. Be right back.
Tired of lockdown? Let the reconnect begin. You belong here. Welcome home to the magic of Angelo's and Vinci's Ristorante in Fullerton, California. Check out our new spacious outdoor dining alfresco. Romantic, market lights. It looks like a movie set. Dine under the stars and enjoy our tasty Angelo's and Vinci's pizza, pasta, seafood, chicken, salad dinners, and more. In the cool of the evening, come enjoy our award-winning menu, new wine list, specialty cocktails like our Peach Bellini Martini, appetizers, and more. Angelo's and Vinci's now open every day from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. for relaxing outdoor dining. No reservations needed. Just come on in for delicious Italian food. Angelo's and Vinci's Ristorante, 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton. Call 714-879-4022. We're going to need a lot of pasta to get through this year. Come to Angelo's and Vinci's at 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton today.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance, or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Everybody's talking at me. Chuck Wilder, CRN, with my guest, Seton Motley, president of Less Government, lessgovernment.org. You can also read his excellent articles at redstate.com. We were discussing his latest, The U.S. Should Take Note of Vietnam's First Trade Policy, and talking about this ASEAN. What does that stand for exactly? Asian something, right? Are you there, Seton?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I do now. Yeah, thank you.
Sorry, I muted it for Rufus, and I forgot to unmute it. I apologize.
There you go. Barking up the wrong tree, yes. ASEAN, what exactly does that stand
for? I don't remember. I got to be honest. I don't remember from the article. It's the tax, right? It's the
It could just be ASEAN. You know, talking about the ASEANs.
Read the sentence you're getting it from.
ASEAN in capital letters, Trade and Goods Agreement, and the Asian nations.
Oh, that's the trade deal. That's the trade deal between Vietnam and Thailand.
Okay, I don't know what that's stands.
Vietnam is claiming, rightly, that the subsidies, the massive subsidies, violates the trade deal. So they're imposing them. That's why they're justified in imposing the tariffs.
You know, it surprised me, you know, that Thailand and Vietnam were doing so well in the sugar industry. And you talk about the Thai government support for sugar industry amounts to at least $1.3 billion per year. That's pretty good. And then they've got the export. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, the point is, every dollar they subsidize their export is a dollar less they can charge on the market. And they're not charging less because they produce the product better or more efficiently. It's because they're being subsidized. This isn't a free market win. This is a government intervention win. And it's unfair for the Vietnamese producers who are not getting subsidized to try to compete with this massive subsidy. They simply cannot. It's impossible. It's why our wages stayed so low for so long, is because we were exporting millions of businesses with tens of millions of jobs out of the country. And therefore, you had more and more people competing in America, competing for fewer and fewer jobs. That drives down wages. If you have more sugar subsidized cheaper, it's going to drive down the price of sugar for everybody. And you say, oh, that's good. Well, it's good until you run out of farmers to make food for you. It's simple economics. It's why Trump – that's why – the main reason Trump got the low-end wages up is, one, he shut down the border so you didn't have the – U.S. workers weren't competing with Central and South America for jobs and wages. And two, he started bringing jobs back. Well, how did he bring jobs back? He lowered taxes, he lowered regulations, and he started evening out the trade playing field so we weren't getting, flooded with subsidized crap.
Oh, yeah. And, Obama – as far as I know, there might be go way back to the Roosevelt or something like that. But talk about, all of these regulations that Obama put on America, and Trump lifted probably 80% of them at least. And now, I don't know, we're probably almost back up to what Obama was doing with all those executive orders.
Yeah, and we're only getting started. Biden's going to be worse. Biden's going to be much worse. I think Biden feels emboldened by the fact that Obama did all he did and got away with it, meaning he got reelected and he's still in the good graces of the zeitgeist. And so he feels he can push the envelope further, I'm afraid.
Yeah, it's you're kind of worried. You give him just a little bit and then he wants to keep going further and further. But I still have this suspicion that there's other people really are the ones that are pulling the strings, There's just...
Biden is a Alzheimer's-addled idiot, yes. He was dumb before he got Alzheimer's. Now he's got Alzheimer's. this is definitely... That's why when I write about it, I call it Biden, Inc. It's Biden Incorporated. It's not Biden. It's his whole big government corporation.
So now then, as I wait for just a moment, I got about 20 seconds with you. I got to get an update. How's the world famous dog Rufus doing? I know you.
I had to eject him. He started barking while we were in commercial, so I had to eject him. He's out on the deck, staring at me, waiting to come back in. It's Southwest Florida, and the temperature is mild, given the fact that it's late July. But it's still Southwest Florida in late July. So I think he's ready to come back in. But otherwise,
he's fine. It's interesting with your weather because I'm telling you, out here, wow, it's unbelievable. And, Death Valley, which is in California, a lot of people don't even know that. I talked to somebody the other day, and I thought that was in Africa. I said, well, they probably got one too. But they actually broke their old record, And when you do that, because it was up there way, way high. I looked it up the other day, and now I can't even remember what it was. But I'm thinking it was like 128 was the original one they had, and they broke that. And
I just saw Portland and Oregon is way over 100, which is strange.
Yeah. And you're not talking about deaths per week either when you talk about Portland, right?
Well, no, that's an entirely separate tally.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, it's very interesting, and you know, Seton's an animal lover. I'm an animal lover. I got a Cocker Spaniel, and finally, a couple of days ago, I got up enough courage to take her in to get her hair cut, you know, because with Cocker Spaniels, you let it go for a long time, and then with this heat problem, I mean, it's like cruelty to animals, you know what I mean?
No, I keep Rufus doesn't like the heat. I keep him very short all the time. So, yes, I understand.
You keep him short, and I got to remind the listeners now, you know, he's not cutting his feet down. He's cutting his hair.
No, he's short naturally anyway. He's only six and a half pounds, so he's
six
a small guy.
Six and a half pounds.
Yeah.
See, my Cocker Spaniel can beat up your 6.5 pounds probably.
No, Rufus is very strong and very quick. My money's on my mutt.
You know, and I think a long time ago, a couple of years ago, we were talking about, pardon me, when Rufus was barking in the background, and I said, what's he barking at? And I thought you said a crocodile, but I think it was, I wasn't
a
sure
lizard.
If it was a croc, a lizard?
A lizard.
No, it was bigger than that. It was out in the yard.
Oh, we have these big, these morons bring these iguanas back from Central and South America.
Iguanas,
as pets,
yes.
And then they let them out. They let them loose. And because, we're a tropical climate, too, they start taking over the environment because they're an apex predator, and they have nothing to eat them up here because they don't belong here, so there's nothing to deal with them here. So they just start, they breed like rabbits, and they're all over the place. So, yeah, some of these things are 7 or 8 feet long. I mean, they're big, long lizards, yes.
Well, you see, so if you see a iguana and a smart dog like Rufus would say, I want a iguana. No, now I can't get something like that. Hey, listen, I know you're a busy guy. I'm going to let you go. Seton Motley and redstate.com, they can still read all your articles over there, right? And,
yes,
of course, the main website is
lessgovernment.org. And if you sign up for our newsletter, unlike Google, and we'll send you stuff when we write stuff, and unlike Google and Facebook, we won't lease your data.
Let me tell you something real quick, because my guest isn't ready just yet. Facebook. Today, what I do, I always post the list of guests that I have on Facebook early in the morning.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I see a thing, and it says, Facebook has reminded you that you've got all of these things that do not approve, we do not approve of. And I'm going, wow, what in the heck could that be? You know, maybe I had somebody on that they didn't agree with, whatever. I don't know. But all of a sudden, it was my list of guests that they had already said no. And there were like five different times that I posted who's going to be my guest, you know, the whole list.
And they didn't like the guest?
Doesn't go with our accords or whatever they use it, you know. But they don't tell me, no, we don't like this.
They're very censorious. Yes, they are. All the big tech companies are.
I think if you have a big C, not as in Chuck, but as in conservative, that probably has something to do with it, too, wouldn't you think?
That has almost all of it to do with it.
I think so.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Hey, have a good day. Appreciate it, sir. We'll talk
again.
Thank
you, sir, very much. Have a good one.
All right. Seton Motley, lessgovernment.org. All right. Let me see here. Hey, I wanted to remind you that the former NYPD commissioner, Bernie Kerik, K-E-R-I-K, he has explained that based on his analysis that he now believes Trump probably won by 1 million votes in Pennsylvania, and they've squashed it. And he added that a forensic audit is going to be there, and it's going to be one of the most substantial of any in the country. All right? 1 million votes, Pennsylvania. You know, it's going on all over the place. But as Twitter says, there's no such thing as voter fraud. All right, so this is a long, yeah. Okay, thank you. Boris Epstein, E-P-S-H-T-E-Y-N, has stated that no one can state for certain. Now, isn't that amazing how you can say the guy stated that no one can state for certain? Okay, but anyway, that it would be unconstitutional for former President Donald Trump to be reinstated to the presidency, since the United States Constitution does not prohibit reinstatement, and the issue has never been ruled upon. During an interview with Dr. Jenna Loudon on Real America's Voice, Epstein, a former Trump 2020 strategic advisor, predicted that the matter will land in the nation's high court, said that the interplay of the 10th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, the 12th Amendment in Article 2, would suggest that states do have a right to decertify. And from them, it's an open question about what happens next. Yes. He also said that after information becomes available from state audits, decertification should happen, because that's the correct step from the states. And from then on, in terms of deciding what to do about the federal election. Well, there's going to be an open question, he noted, remarking that he believes that the matter will go before the Supreme Court. Now, you know, you got to look at it. I don't care who's in office. If you start tinkering around with the election, and they've been doing it for so long, I mean, the jokes about, you know, Democrats going to the graveyard and, you know, and getting the names and all this stuff, that's been going on for 40, 50 years, all right? Whenever Johnson was running, you know, everybody thought, boy, he didn't win, no way in the world, and all this other stuff. And it's like, who's the slickest? You know what I'm saying? Who can get away with it? Maybe that's part of politics, is who can get away with it. I remember at one time, the youngest guy to ever be sworn in, representative from New York, and boy, you know, wet behind the ears and all that stuff, and the very first day, you know, that he goes in because he was elected, you know, and there he is right there in the Capitol. And he says, okay, boy, here's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And they said, wait just a minute, sir. I'm not even going to mention his name, okay? But he says, they said, no. You have one priority right now, and that is to start figuring out how you're going to get money to get reelected. You don't need to go over there and worry about those streets and potholes and stuff like that. But see, that's it, you know. And then if you look at how long they stay in office, there was a time I just did not believe in term limits, because there were a few people, very few, but, you know, that are there and doing a great job. And you said, no, I don't want them to have to leave. But now, my goodness, you look at these people that have been hanging on, and tripling, quadrupling their salary. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Well, there is a former President Obama's ethics chief ripped into President Biden's son, Hunter Biden. Yeah, I did say President Obama's ethics chief. He's against Hunter Biden for selling his art at prices ranging up to $500,000 to anonymous buyers. Walter Schaub, S-H-A-U-B, the former Office of Government Ethics Director under Obama, said that the lucrative arrangement has a, quote, shameful and grifty feeling to it. The notion of a president's son capitalizing on that relationship by selling art at obviously inflated prices and keeping the public in the dark about who's funneling the money to him does have a shameful and grifty feel to it. That's what Schaub told Fox News. In just a moment, I'm going to talk possibly about this Colorado teen. He had targeted 18 students that he called transphobic, and they've had his court ruling there on what happened with him, and we'll check that in just a moment. I did have David Rubin scheduled. Apparently something's happening over there in Israel, and there's a lot of important things that are going on, so I don't think we're going to have him today, because if we did, it'd only be for about 4 minutes or so, so we'll do it another time. We'll take a break, and then we'll be right back.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flair, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef, broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at RuthsChris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
It's been tough talking to my doctor about constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. I finally laid all my symptoms out there and how they keep coming back. She said I may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. We agreed it's time to try something different.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Visit a doctor in person or online. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN. And I was telling you about this Colorado teen targeted the death of 18 students that he called transphobic. Well, he's been found guilty on 46 counts, including murder. Now, here's the thing, listener. You likely have not heard much about this school shooting because the killer is a transgender kid who targeted straight kids for death. The shooting occurred back in 2019 at the STEM school Highlands Ranch. That's about 15 miles south of Denver, Colorado. Devon Michael Erickson, he was 18 at the time, found guilty of murdering Kendrick Castillo. He was also 18. Erickson, Alex McKinney, then 16, pleaded guilty last year and was sentenced to life in prison. The two planned the attack, intending to kill as many students as possible. And then after the attack, Erickson had planned to kill McKinney and then blame the mass shooting on the one who was supposed to be a dead accomplice. However, Erickson's lawyers maintained that the whole thing was McKinney's idea and that he manipulated Erickson to participate in the murders. Still, prosecutors claim that the reverse was true and that Erickson was the mastermind behind the attack. True to form, liberals claim that Erickson is the real victim because he identifies as a transgender person. All right. You know, I was talking about voter fraud, stuff like that. There were over 7,000 affidavits delivered to Michigan lawmakers who also claim election fraud. Pro testers said Secretary of State Joshua Lynn Benson's audit only recounted votes that didn't go far enough. Hundreds of people concerned about the integrity of the November 2020 election gathered outside the Michigan Capitol last Thursday to protest and deliver roughly 7,000 affidavits claiming fraud and demanding a forensic audit. Michigan Conservative Coalition spokesperson Matt Seeley said thousands of Michigan voters have questioned the integrity of the 2020 election. Quote, if we do a deep-dive forensic audit similar to Arizona, it will do either one of two things, he said in a phone interview. It will prove that all of the politicians who say there's nothing to see there, that they were right, or it will prove there's a big problem with the integrity of our elections and that we need to address it in a major way. Seeley said election integrity isn't a Democrat or Republican issue. He cited one poll saying that 70% of Republicans don't believe the 2020 election was free or fair, 70%. Another survey says between 20 and 30% of Democrats said it was very likely that Democrats stole votes or destroyed pro-Trump ballots in several states to ensure that Biden would win. If the politicians who are trying to stop this from taking place truly believe there's nothing to see there, then what would be the harm in just proving to the electorate that the concerns are unwarranted, Seeley asked. And Seeley said five governors in swing states changed election rules and procedures that ended up determining the election. Why did 45 other governors dealing with states of emergency and COVID didn't feel it was necessary to change election rules and procedures and violate the U.S. Constitution? We owe voters the truth. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to take a break. We're going to be coming back in just a moment. And Mr. Selwyn Duke from The New American. And boy, does he have a brand new one for you. We'll be right back.
And Digital Talk Radio.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here, Tomas at the network. We are live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. My guest is the one and only Selwyn Duke. Writes for The New American. He also has contributed to college textbooks published by Gale Sinage Learning. He appears on television, frequent guest on radio shows, and his website, SelwynDuke.com. And this is his very short intro. So we have all this great time to discuss great subjects. Hello, Selwyn. How are you doing?
Chuck, I'm doing okay. I'm just sitting here minding my own business. How are you?
Minding my own business.
Well, I guess then we're not going to have much of a show, right? Because we don't start minding our business. That's it for the show.
No, we're going to have a great show because your business is keeping people informed about things they are normally not going to hear, and my business is to make sure that you do that on great stations like this, okay? So there, okay. What do you think of that?
I can't argue.
You know, I talk about, hey, we're around the world. The other day, I guess about a couple of weeks ago, somebody sent me a email, and here was this picture, and they were over in Trinidad or something, someplace, and here the TV is up there, and it's talking about, you know, next Chuck Wilder talk back, and it was coming in on their TV station over there, you know, and we are all over the world, so beware of what you hear, because it may be coming your way. For example, very disturbing story. And I got to tell you right off the bat, so when I, last night I think it was, or the night before, I was watching some news report, and it was from one of the regular channels in Los Angeles, And they were saying, and so far, no American children have died from getting the shot. You know, and they were basically talking about how now they're worried about, you know, it's going to create little heart murmurs and stuff like that, and it's doing it in other countries. Well, lo and behold, here is Selwyn Duke's latest. There is this pro-vaccine woman who is saying that her 13-year-old nephew died 3 days after getting the second COVID shot. You followed everything they said, and look what happened. 13 years old. Tell us about this.
Yeah, it's a tragic story, Chuck. And, you know, now we're hearing that some experts are actually warning that minors under 18 shouldn't be given COVID vaccinations. And people such as myself have been saying that for a long time. Not that I'm technically a medical expert. I'm not. But it's just common sense. And we're going to get into that. You just have to look at the data. But for instance, here I quoted the Times, that's in London, citing Britain's Joint Committee on Vaccination and Immunization. It said, quote, "The risks are not worth the gains from preventing a disease that very rarely causes serious problems in the young." Okay, so now we have this situation here, which you introduced, involving this poor 13-year-old boy. His name was Jacob Klinik, and his story was brought to us by his aunt, Tammy Burgess. She tweeted about it. Her first tweet, at least, went viral. And she said that he died of heart problems a mere 3 days after getting his second COVID vaccination. Now, of course, if you want to be entirely scientific about this, you can't say that we know absolutely for certain that the COVID vaccination caused his death, but it does seem like the logical conclusion. This aunt, Burgess, she said that her nephew was absolutely healthy as far as they know, normal American boy, has the second COVID vaccination, 3 days later, he's dead. And I think they found fluid around his heart when they performed an autopsy. And actually, this accords with what we've heard in recent times about some of the dangers associated with these COVID vaccines, especially when they're given to young men and teenage boys. In fact, we have heard, this is according to DefiantAmerica.com, that there have been more than 300 cases of heart inflammation, I think that's known as myocarditis, after coronavirus vaccinations. And this is in young people we're talking about. And this was according to Dr. Rochelle Walensky of the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And she said, because she was defending the vaccination program, well, these cases are rare. Over 20 million, I'm quoting her, adolescents and young adults have been vaccinated in the United States. Anyway, so the story goes that these teenage boys who had these problems all appeared as if they were having heart attacks. They were complaining of things such as chest pain, general discomfort, and according to Defiant America, quote, tests looked at first as if they were suffering from an acute myocardial infarction. That's a more medical term for a heart attack. They weren't, though, Chuck. These young people, they were ages 14 to 19, were suffering from that aforementioned very rare type of heart inflammation. And more public officials we hear are linking it now to the COVID-19 vaccines. Anyway, so let's get back to this poor boy, Jacob Klinik. His aunt tweeted, she said, quote, "A week ago today," and she wrote this on 6/20, the 20th, "my brother's 13-year-old son had his second COVID shot. Less than 3 days later, he died. The initial autopsy results, done Friday, were that his heart was enlarged and there was some fluid surrounding it. He had no known health problems, was on no medications." Then she further tweeted, "Our family is devastated. I struggled with putting this out on Twitter. I'm pro-vaccine," she said. "We vaccinated my own 14-year-old son as soon as it was available. I know it is, quote, mostly safe," she wrote, "but Jacob is dead now." Then she said the CDC needs to investigate this. And, you know, the bottom line is this. And by the way, her tweets now are unavailable. And I said in my article that's a very interesting thing. But I think that in all likelihood, she probably removed them herself because she probably wants more privacy for her family. That's just my guess. Who knows what kinds of responses she was getting. This is a very painful time for them. But anyway,
well, let me ask you real quick, because, you know, when I first got into this story, I was saying, wow, you're not going to see this on Facebook or Twitter. And on my second page here, I have where Twitter suspended the account for 12 hours as a result. And you think it was not them, it was that she took it off?
Oh, no. Well, that's a different account. Now, we should get into that. National File is a website. I think it was the first website that reported on this. But regardless, after reporting on it, it said that its account was suspended by Twitter for 12 hours. Now, this is unbelievable because we have no reason to believe that this story is misinformation, and it's something that people should hear about. They should factor it into the database. You know, you have to do your cost-benefit analysis. But according to big tech, you're only supposed to hear good things about vaccines all the time. And we've seen this over and over and over again. I mean, I know a while back, Robert F. Kennedy, who's a liberal, by the way, had some questions about vaccines, and he was censored by big tech. So it's really unbelievable. And let me just say that, look, I'm not a fearmonger, Chuck. I will be the first to say that if your child is vaccinated against COVID, he's probably going to be okay in all likelihood. But that's not really the point because, again, everything in life is a matter of probability, as I say in my article. You know, there's a certain probability that your child will be struck by lightning and you could keep him indoors all day long, but that's not the prudent course of action because the costs there would be far greater than the benefits.
And I'm going to tell you something, Selwyn. You know, I've heard many, many times that dying from COVID is nothing compared to being hit by lightning. And I said, well, that's got to be crazy. And then they give you these statistics on lightning. And when I saw you put it in there, I thought, well, okay. You know, I don't know of too many people who have been hit by lightning, to tell you the truth. I do, because golf players, I remember out in the West Texas, southeastern New Mexico area, you know, you'd have a thunderstorm, and you might get a little jolt. You know what I'm talking about? Not killed. But I'll tell you another thing, and I know for a fact that you're also a fan of Tucker Carlson, okay? And, you know, not too long ago, about three or four nights ago, he actually was reporting on how all of these youngsters all of a sudden were dying in other countries, you know, after they had the COVID shot. You recall that?
Right. I do. He did a very good report on that. Absolutely.
Brazil, I think, was the number one country at the time.
Yeah. You mentioned golfers. Golfer Lee Trevino was struck by lightning in 1975. And by the way, he says it completely changed his life, that he was a wild man living a somewhat dissolute existence prior to that. But then he changed his ways. So I guess that's how God can get your attention, right? A little lightning.
You know where Lee Trevino was from?
Where was he from? Texas, I believe, right?
El Paso, Texas. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
see, and I told you, Texas, New Mexico, yeah, watch out for lightning. Anyway, there's our PSA for tonight. Go ahead. Hey, another thing, there's a story that came out, you know, because this is kind of based, you know, we're talking about, you know, a 13-year-old kid, right? I had a story that just came out from the Telegraph about mental health specialists have now described the phenomena of locked-in trauma plaguing youngsters after more than a year of lockdowns, with children as young as 5 years old experiencing anxiety, especially about going and playing with others outside. And it goes into a whole thing there about that because, you know, they've been suffering just like mom and dad and everybody else, you know. And you mentioned, you know, the chances of dying from COVID. We'll get to that in a moment, but go ahead and continue. You've got a couple of minutes for the break.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, the bottom line is this. More and more health authorities are saying you shouldn't vaccinate children, something that I and others have been saying all along. All you needed was common sense to figure that out. The CDC said this month that there is a problem with, quote, rare but higher than expected reports of heart inflammation following doses of the mRNA-based Pfizer and Moderna COVID-19 vaccines. This is among young people. Then there was a World Health Organization advisory. This was on June 3rd, according to NewsWars, quote, children should not be vaccinated at the moment, unquote. Currently, the World Health Organization, Chuck, says that more, quote, evidence is needed on the use of the different COVID-19 vaccines in children to be able to make general recommendations on vaccinating children against COVID-19. And then, of course, you have the aforementioned Joint Committee on Vaccination and Immunization in Britain. I mentioned it earlier. It echoed what the WHO said. It warned, stating, quote, vaccination of children is not recommended. Okay, now, as I point out in my article, despite this, Dr. Anthony Fauci is still out there saying vaccinate your kids because there's a new coronavirus variant out there, the Delta variant. But what does common sense dictate? Okay, like I said, everything is a matter of probability in life. You do a cost-benefit analysis. The truth is the CDC itself told us in October, Chuck, that if you're 0 to 19 years old and you contract the virus, chances surviving are 99.997%. The last time I heard the stats relating to California, our most populous state with about 40 million people, this was 2 months ago, only two individuals under 18 had died of COVID. And you can bet that those poor young souls were not healthy. The point is that your child is more imperiled by the flu than he is by COVID. Mm-hmm. For that reason, there's no good cause to give him some medication that's not fully tested. It's just common sense. Look, well, in the 2009-2010 flu season, 358 children died of the flu. No one talked about it. So like I said, studies have shown the flu is more dangerous to children than COVID is. So if you're not worried about not giving your kid a flu shot, why would you worry about not giving him a COVID shot? Okay, so the conclusion is simple. Don't give a child COVID vaccine.
And I'll tell you what, as we go into this break, you graduate from high school, so apparently automatically you're no longer a child because now to get in college, you must get the COVID shot. And yeah. President Biden wants everybody to get it. Yes, we'll give you free transportation. We'll give you donuts. We'll give you lottery tickets. Wow. More from Selwyn Duke. It is Mr. Selwyn Duke, SELWYNDUKE.com.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Before the worldwide triumph of Hamilton, Lin-Manuel Miranda created a Tony Award-winning musical about a vibrant Caribbean-American neighborhood at the very northern tip of Manhattan. It's called In the Heights, now streaming on HBO Max and playing in theaters.
It's a story of a block that was disappearing. In un barrio called Washington Heights, the streets were made of music.
And this big new movie is made of music, movie magic, and dancing. Director John Chu, best known for the major hit Crazy Rich Asians, has done a deeply sympathetic job of bringing to life an energetic array of young characters led by Anthony Ramos, who was also in the Hamilton cast in a star-making performance. This is surely one of the best movie musicals of recent years and very likely the feel-good movie of 2021. It's rated PG-13 for some slightly off-color references. 4 stars for In the Heights.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call myflightsearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Everybody's talking at me. Chuck Wilder, CRN, with my guest Selwyn Duke, the new American. SelwynDuke.com. You know, I was talking about mental health and stuff like that with the shutdown, and I wanted to give the rest of that. The National Health Service, if you're ready for this, we're talking about the United States, has treated more than 420,000 young people and children for mental health issues since the lockdown. The poor children. But you know what? Selwyn Duke has come up with the... There is a solution to all this, you know. If you don't want the children to be dying from COVID. This next one is unbelievable. Leave it to Selwyn to have the research. And I'm waiting for a quote from G.K. Chesterton. I know that's going to come up somewhere in the show. But anyway... This one, leftist group advocates against having children. What? Well, that would solve the whole problem, wouldn't it, Selwyn?
It certainly would, Chuck. It certainly would. And I like the way you segued into that. That was really,
Thank you very much.
And let me just say, following up on the last segment, I'm not anti-vax. I want to make that clear because I don't want people to think that I'm someone who has some kind of an emotion-based bias here. Look, if you're 40, if you're 50, if you're overweight, if you're older than 40 or 50 and you want to take the vaccine, that's your decision. You have to do your cost-benefit analysis. But as you said, Chuck, before, there are all sorts of negative consequences associated with these supposed COVID mitigation measures that we're visiting upon children. It's ridiculous. Don't vaccinate kids. Let them breathe. Take the stupid masks, which can be laden with pathogens, off their faces. Stop locking them down. Let them associate with other children. It's child abuse to do otherwise because it's completely unnecessary. Anyway,
the
sorry
only
about
thing,
that.
No, that's okay, but I got to throw in my disclaimer, okay? The only thing I want you parents to worry about when you have young kids, do not, are you listening? Do not give them a crayon and let them be turned loose anywhere where there's a wall. All right, go ahead.
Especially in front of your house, right?
Well, the graffiti in the front, that'd be okay, but not in in the studio wall. Okay, there you go. So, but this one here, it's like, is this your script? You want us to do a movie on this? No way. Come on, Mr. Duke, what are you talking about? Because this is about, what, an Indian man? Yes, go ahead. We're going to continue this one after the break, too, I'm pretty sure, because this, we will, yes. I first read this, what was it, 2019, Indian man, going to sue his parents for giving birth to him without his consent. Now, that's just part of this story. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. I reported on that way back when. And that story was a little comical, but unfortunately, the philosophy that that Indian fellow subscribes to is not just confined to him. It's called antinatalism, and that's just basically the belief, as it sounds like, that it's wrong to bring children into existence. And just recently, some of its adherents had a protest. You know, they are complaining that the world is too fecund, even though the truth is, Chuck, that this is a very, very barren world. I want to point that out. Close to 100 countries worldwide have fertility rates below replacement level, and virtually every Western country does. Replacement level is 2.1 children per couple, and I don't know what that 0.1 child looks like.
Really?
That should be interesting, but I guess you just get ahead or something.
I'll tell you one thing. Don't give that 0.1 children, don't give that 0.1 a COVID shot. because you know he's not going to be strong enough to accept that. 2.1.
But that's for sure. Yeah. That's a good point. He couldn't possibly be strong enough,
but
right?
It does take care of overpopulation, but guess what? If you don't have children, who's going to eventually, you know, be farming the farm to put the stuff in the grocery store and all that stuff? This is weird.
Yeah. Well, you know, this philosophy, antinatalism, really is a sign of the times. It's a function of our culture of death. These are people who have a very nihilistic worldview. It stems from atheism, the idea that we live a meaningless existence. And, of course, though, they're starting with their own axioms, but we'll get into that. And an axiom, of course, is a self-evident truth that needs no further proof. But anyway, there's this.
Well, I'll tell you what, before you get rolling on this, we're coming up on that break, and I didn't want to have the deal, but the group, Stop Having Kids, let me see, you actually have the group website, yes. Boy, I wouldn't even want to give that out, you know, because, well, I guess I'm safe, yeah, but, you know, you don't want your parents to see it, put it that way, in case you haven't been born yet. Who knows with all the UFOs up there what's going on? I don't know, Selwyn.
Mm, yeah, really.
You're going to have to do one on that, you know, by the way, the UFOs.
They're going to
think about it,
UFOs,
yes. I know, yeah. They're coming down to take place of all those that decided not to have children. Selwyn Duke.
I'm
it's Selwyn Duke. SelwynDuke.com.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Tired of lockdown? Let the reconnect begin. You belong here. Welcome home to the magic of Angelo's and Vinci's Restaurante in Fullerton, California. Check out our new spacious outdoor dining al fresco. Romantic. Market lights. It looks like a movie set. Dine under the stars and enjoy our tasty Angelo's and Vinci's pizza, pasta, seafood, chicken, salad dinners, and more. In the cool of the evening, come enjoy our award-winning menu, new wine list, specialty cocktails, like our Peach Bellini Martini, appetizers, and more. Angelo's and Vinci's now open every day from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. for relaxing outdoor dining. No reservations needed. Just come on in for delicious Italian food. Angelo's and Vinci's Restaurante, 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton. Call 714-879-4022. We're going to need a lot of pasta to get through this year. Come to Angelo's and Vinci's at 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton today.
Imagine this is your money and someone wants to take it from you. Who is it? The IRS. They want your money, and guess what? They can legally take it, all of it if they want. Remember, they sent you that letter that said, hey, you owe us a bunch of cash and we're going to take it from you. So what do? Fight back by letting our team of experts at the Tax Helpline work it out with the IRS so you can keep your money. And we're good at what we do. When you hire us, you get a team of guys on your side that know the IRS laws and will fight to save your money. So, if you owe the IRS a ton of cash and you want to keep it, call right now and learn for free how we can help you put it back in your pocket.
800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. That's 800-932-1597.
When you invest, what do you need? Investors need foresight and prediction so they can invest with confidence. Is the stock market going up and down? What about precious metals or Bitcoin? The stock market may be treading water right now, but now may be a more opportune time to invest in precious metals. Are gold and silver booming? What do you buy? Bullion? Mining stocks? Which ones? The cryptocurrency market is also advancing strongly, but which ones do you buy? John Truman Wolf, former banker and number one best-selling author, gives you the answers in his widely read newsletter, Strategic Financial Intelligence, available at strategicfinancialintelligence.com. Wolf called the breakout of the gold market and the breakout of the silver market. He may not have a crystal ball, but his investment picks tell a story. Metals and digital currencies are on the move. Don't miss out. Go to strategicfinancialintelligence.com and get the Strategic Financial Intelligence newsletter today. Strategicfinancialintelligence.com.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, with my guest Selwyn Duke, the new American. Let's get back to not having children. Go ahead, Selwyn.
Yeah, so Chuck, we were talking about this organization called Stop Having Kids. They just had this protest recently in Edina, Minnesota, because they wanted to get their message out. And there were protesters there, of course. They held signs, placards, bearing messages such as, normalize antinatalism, and quote, women can be whole without becoming a mom. Anyway, so on its website, you're going to find, Chuck, a lot of warnings about the miseries of parenting. For instance, they say, quote, there is an unconscionable amount of needless suffering and death in the world. Birth serves as the catalyst for it all. The fewer people in the world, the less suffering, right? Yeah. Okay, so anyway, here's what it put on its Twitter account. It tells you how maybe you can achieve its lofty goals. It says, the first steps to never having kids or never having kids again. Evaluate the guaranteed and potential harms new life brings. Think way beyond yourself. Pledge to abstain from the most selfish human behavior. That's what it said there. Now, it's funny, Chuck, because I know that at one time, thinking beyond yourself involved having kids, right? It was the whole thing, I'm not going to be selfish, but I'm going to devote myself to creating who will hopefully be the saints of the future. But then in another tweet, this organization, Stop Having Kids, wrote, quote, think about all the problems you have in your life right now, all the problems you've been through in the past, and all the potential problems that await your future. They could have all been avoided had you just never been born. But life is a gift? No, not at all, unquote.
Yeah, no taxes.
That's very, very interesting. Now, you alluded to this before the break, or you referenced it, but this reminded me of a story about G.K. Chesterton, who you know I've quoted once or twice, not too much, just once or twice. But anyway, what you don't know about Chesterton, perhaps, is that he wasn't just some intellectual. He was actually a very, very jolly fellow. He was 6'4", he was 300 pounds, I think even heavier than that at his death. But he always carried with him, he was a character's character, a sword stick and a pistol. But it's not that he was a violent man. In fact, he only would produce his pistol in one situation. It was this. When someone would say to him something to the effect of, life is not worth living, he would draw his firearm out and he would say, would you like me to shoot you? And I guess that made the point, because as far as I know, no one ever took him up on that offer. And I mentioned this in the article because the point is, you know, if the antinatalists really believe what they espouse, that you're better off dead or not existing than living in this material fold with all its pain and trials and sufferings and privations, well, then why don't they just kill themselves? Now, I'm not, don't want them to do this, mind you. I'm not encouraging it. Yeah. I'm just saying logic would follow. Now, they might respond, Chuck, that, well, that's contrary to instinct, let's face it, or their mission, advancing their antinatalism, is so great and good that it just impels them to soldier on.
You so know I what, guess Selwyn? If. Whenever you ask them that question, I was thinking that if I was in their shoes, chances are, you know, you might hear one of them say, well, I'm not going to kill myself right now because I think there's a new Batman movie coming out. You know what I'm saying? Seriously. I can see that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, or as I said to one of my father's old friends, we were joking around years ago. He was much older. He was elderly. I don't know. I think some topic relating to this came up. I said, well, why do you stay around then? He said, I like the meals. That's funny.
Or the desserts, you know. And Chesterton, 300 pounds, he probably stood, he liked the desserts. Yes, okay.
He certainly did. But, you want to hear something? He was a convert to Catholicism and really a very, very staunch defender of it. And he once described Catholicism thus. He said, Chuck, Catholicism is like a thick, juicy steak, a fine glass of wine, and a good cigar. That's what he said. So I call him an Epicurean saint. That's what I call him. But anyway, you know, getting back to this group and striking a more serious note, stop having kids. At their website, okay, they definitely, it's clear, are of the man is a pox on the planet camp, you know, believing that the world would be better off if we were all just gone. In fact, it writes at its website, humans, quote, are one of the few species, if not the only species, that could be eradicated to the benefit of all other species and ecosystems. The fewer humans who exist, irrespective of how they are raised and how conscientiously, I think they meant, they live their life, the less problems and suffering would exist for all life. It is in everyone's best interest to not be forced into existence. Now, it's interesting because, like all people on this side, all people who are atheistic or secular, they don't really seem to think things through very thoroughly. Yeah. If everything is meaningless, if there's no God, if we're just cosmic accidents, then we have to ask, Chuck, well, why does any of this matter? Why does it matter if we benefit other animals and ecosystems? Why is that important? Why is that better than benefiting man? For that matter, we should also ask, since they believe that it's better not to exist than to suffer, well, all creatures suffer to some extent. Animals do, so wouldn't we just be doing life a favor if we eradicated it all? I mean, maybe we could just nuke the world, atomize everything, and then when that is all said and done, the world won't be worth living in anyway, but then we could just commit suicide ourselves. I mean, that would follow from what they seem to be saying here. You know, bing, bang, boom.
Yeah.
But
and you,
they don't.
You know, you also have to realize, you know, that these people saying, oh, you know, and look how good it'd be for the animals, da 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 da. You know what? If you weren't a human, you wouldn't even know about the animals.
Well, exactly, exactly. I mean, you see, we're joking about this, Chuck, but really this gets down to a very, very serious issue. What is the meaning of life? Why are we here? And I said earlier that this antinatalism is an outgrowth of the culture of death. And of course it is, because if you figure that we're just cosmic accidents, there's no purpose to life then you can go down this road. Of course, though, as I said, these antinatalists are accepting their own axioms, their own supposed truths that need no further evidence. They're saying, for instance, well, somehow it's a good thing if we preserve ecosystems, or somehow it's a good thing to benefit animals at the expense of man. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe we should be good shepherds of the earth. I'm not contradicting that thesis. All I'm saying is they haven't thought things through. Why does any of that matter? If there's no God, if there's no truth, if man is the measure of all things, as the Greek philosopher Protagoras said, if it's all just a matter of preference, of perspective, why does any of this matter? And this reminds me of something that English atheist and evolutionary biologist Richard Dawkins, who wrote The God Delusion, said years ago. In 1991, he gave his Royal Institution Christmas lectures, Chuck, and he actually told the children there that we are, quote, machines built by DNA whose purpose is to make more copies of the same DNA. Hmm. It is every living object's sole reason for living. That's what he said. So in other words, he was saying we're organic robots and our purpose is to create other organic robots. But again, that doesn't make any sense because if there's no God, as he asserts, how do we have any purpose? There's no meaning to anything. It doesn't matter what you do then. Then everything boils down to what occultist Aleister Crowley said, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. And, you know, Chesterton, who I mentioned earlier, had something to say about this very thing. Now, I don't know if you want me to read it, Chuck, because the passage is a little long. Do you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, well, actually, he had something to say about this. At the time, this was in 1905, it was in his work Heretics, and he was critiquing another Englishman, H.G. Wells. And he said, quote, In the opening pages of that excellent book, Mankind in the Making, he, Wells, dismisses the ideals of art, religion, abstract morality, and the rest, and says that he is going to consider men in their chief function, the function of parenthood. In other words, saying exactly what Dawkins said. Continuing, quote, Chesterton said, he is going to discuss life as a tissue of births. He's not going to ask what will produce satisfactory saints or satisfactory heroes, but what will produce satisfactory fathers and mothers. The whole is set forward so sensibly that it is a few moments at least before the reader realizes that it is another example of unconscious shirking. What is the good of begetting a man until we have settled what is the good of being a man? You are merely handing on to him a problem you dare not settle yourself. It is as if a man were asked, what is the use of a hammer? And answered, to make hammers. And when asked, and of those hammers, what is the use? Answered, to make hammers again. Just as such a man would be perpetually putting off the question of the ultimate use of carpentry, so Mr. Wells and the rest of us are, by these phrases, successfully putting off the question of the ultimate value of the human life.
You know, and Selwyn, yeah. Because, you know, you're such a fan of these great people that quote. And when I read this, you know, and I when I first saw that, you know, to make hammers, I mean, my goodness, the way that is put in and comes out, you know what I mean? It really makes sense. You don't have to use a word that requires 36 letters of the alphabet. How many letters are there? 26?
Anyway, 26, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Unless under Common Core education, I have no idea with what's going on in the schools nowadays, because we've got, what, 100 genders or so, so-called genders, so who knows how many letters we have. I know it's LGBTQ+. They're going to have to keep adding letters onto that until you have more than 26, right?
Just you're going to have one that's only two letters, I think, and that would be NH, non-human, right?
Yeah.
I'm non-human. You didn't pay your taxes. I am non-human. And, well, okay, get over there and build another hammer. Okay. Oh, I am human. Yeah, there you go. Hey, by the way, I want to make sure that we touch on your next one there about the New York mayor. That is, I love that one. I mean, and we're going to have time to do it, but go ahead and give me your final thoughts on this one here, shall you?
Yes, yes, absolutely. So Chesterton put it very, very well. You know, what is the ultimate value of human life? Again, these are the deepest questions. Why are we here? What is the purpose to life? And this is why a lot of people have said the only logical conclusion or the only conclusion that gives you meaning is to say that God exists, he created us because he loves us, and he wants us to be with him for all eternity. When you believe that, then you have purpose. And if you look at so-called religious people, you look at psychological studies of them, Chuck, they are the happiest people among us. And, by the way, if you look at fertility rates, it's only in the world now, the really religious people who are having very large families, secular people, quite frankly, are extinguishing themselves. That's what's going on. And that's why, actually, demographers, professional demographers, tell us that, contrary to myth, in 35 years, the world is going to be more religious than it is now. I know that's from the Everything You Know Is Not So file, but that is the truth. Most people think, well, religion is dying in the world, you know, reason and science are extinguishing it, but that's not true. And that's partially because, again, the secular people are not reproducing, the religious people are. And yes, we are seeing religion dying in the West, but what you have to understand there is the West is dying because the West, again, has below replacement fertility rates. It's putting itself out of business, but that's not the case in the world overall necessarily, or at least the people who will remain some decades hence, again, are going to generally be more religious than the people who are around right now, even though the world population ultimately will start shrinking at some point because of these overall low fertility rates.
And, of course, religion right now is also having a lot of enemies fighting it, especially in the United States. So go ahead.
Right. Yeah, in the West, absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you look at it worldwide, religion is doing very, very well in many quarters. In fact, the last I saw the statistics, which admittedly now was several years ago, even Catholicism was growing worldwide at a rate slightly in excess of the rate of population growth. And most people wouldn't guess that because they would say, well, all these churches, they're dying. I mean, people are leaving them in droves. In the West, yeah. Rest of the world, yeah, not so much.
You know, and the other thing in your closing paragraphs is you're talking about, and you hear young people say, well, we don't want to have kids because they're worried about climate change, you know, the indoctrination, and it just keeps going on and on and on.
Oh.
And did you hear, Selwyn, that that may be our next big shutdown? They're already trying to get Biden to announce that we're going to have another shutdown like COVID, but this time it's because of the most existential threat to the world. Climate change, and we're going to do it, and we're going to determine how far you can drive and what kind of this you can have and that, and boy, oh boy, oh boy. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I have heard about that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't put it past them. I mean, this is what happens when you empower government like this and you set these precedents where you say, well, government can dictate what businesses will be shut down. Well, leaving the businesses like Walmart, Amazon, that donate to them unscathed, right, and letting government say, oh, well, churches have to be shut down and you can't have anti-lockdown protests, but you can have a BLM protest. That's A-okay because racism, well, that's such an existential threat. I mean, that's an even bigger threat to our society than COVID is, if you can possibly believe that.
I know, and they've been pushing it forever. We're going to end the world in 10 years. And then 10 years later, it's the end of the world in 12 years, then 10 years, then 7 years, and then who knows. I'm going to tell you something. We're going to come up on the final break here, and got about 40 seconds, actually, something like that. But I'm going to tell you, listener, one of the most interesting things, this is Selwyn wrote it, and it's about the New York City mayor's race with de Blasio. And there's a lady... Well, anyway, there's, this woman, Ms. Wiley, who is doing pretty well. But I'm going to tell you in about the 4 minutes that we'll have after the break, Selwyn, I'm going to let you tell them that how is she sort of just like de Blasio, but maybe more so. Very interesting what's going on over there. It's it's like a disease spreading all over in politics. Selwyn Duke, The New American. And the website, if you want to read all these excellent articles, is Selwyn, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke.com. SelwynDuke.com. Be right back.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Deb's constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating kept giving her grief. She talked to her doctor to get some relief. Turns out Deb had irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, which was a start. Saying yes to Linzess helped her do her part.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flare, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef, broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at RuthsChris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, with Selwyn Duke, the new American. And in his article, New York City may elect a mayor who's just like de Blasio, only more so. And Selwyn, I'd like for you to tell these listeners about this mayoral wannabe. Is it Maya, M-A-Y-A, or Maya?
Yeah. No, I think it's Maya Wiley, absolutely. And if you want to know the definition, Chuck, of jumping from the frying pan into the fire, well,
yes,
then it's electing someone like Maya Wiley. Now, this woman was recently vaulted into second place in the polls in the New York mayoral race. Now, we have had that election already, as most people know, and it turned out that right now she stands in second place behind Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams. She's about 10 points behind, I believe, and the reason why they don't know the ultimate outcome is New York City, for the first time ever, went to this ranked choice voting system, and they have absentee ballots, so it's going to take them about 2 weeks now to determine the winner, and I guess that's a lot of time to affect vote fraud, too. But anyway, this woman here is something else. She was endorsed by AOC. The hard left loves her. And I have to say, the saying goes something to the effect of, hypocrisy is the compliment that vice
that's
pays
it, yeah,
to virtue. And if that's true, well, this woman, Wiley, has been paying virtue a lot of compliments. Here is the kind of hypocrite she is, rich hypocrite. The Daily Mail reported this. She and her CEO investment fund husband, his name is Harlan Mandel, live in a $2.75 million, 4,000-square-foot house in Brooklyn. I don't know if that's a mansion or a house, but they're calling it a house.
Right.
Now, she also, Chuck, wants to defund the police, right? She's all in on that agenda. But get this. She and her neighbors in their posh neighborhood pay $550 a month for private security. Oh, yeah. So I guess, you know, it's my values for thee, but not for me. Then this, she's a mother of two. She also calls school programs for talented kids, get this, racially discriminatory. Despite this, though, I mean, you have to figure she would just send her kids to a regular public school. No. Uh-huh. She sent one of her daughters to an academy for the gifted, and she has another kid, and that one she sent to a $51,000 a year private school.
$51,000 a year. Wow. Go ahead.
Absolutely, absolutely. And she makes a lot of money, too. Get this. She worked as counsel for Bolshevik Bill. That's what I call Mayor de Blasio. She did this between 2014 and 2016. And she made during that period more than $400,000 in compensation. Okay, so she left that job. And then she headed to something called the New School. She became there, Chuck, senior president for social justice. That's a role we really need filled, right? Anyway, there she had a nearly $300,000 payday. That was in 2018. And then in 2019, it was $250,000. And she also had this really great gig as an MSNBC analyst. That got her, Chuck, another $60,000 to $100,000 a year. So I guess socialism really pays, doesn't it?
Yeah. And what was the other one? $900,000. That's her husband, yeah?
That's her husband.
Compensation. Yep. Wow. Oh, they're hurting. Please elect them for that wonderful thing that you'd love to be, and that's the mayor of New York.
All right. I have the wrong ideology for bank accounts.
Yeah. Hey, Selwyn, thank you very much. I look forward to our next visit. Selwyn Duke.
Selwyn
Duke. Thank you. God bless you. SelwynDuke.com. Thank you very much, Damas. Thank you for listening. And as Selwyn said, God bless America and the, of course, United States of America.